that he's going to give to us next 25 minutes because of our time schedule is coming to bless us. Lift your hand and say, Father, speak to me tonight. Lift your hand and say, Father, speak to me tonight. Lift your hand and say, Father, speak to me tonight. Give me what will bless my life. Give me what will transform me. Give the Lord a hand for him.
And thank you very much. You can please be seated. And I would like to bring our message from the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 16. And I don't have much time, and so I want to be careful with it and to get into the message as quickly as possible. I want to say thank you, Pastor. And it's not really my team, it's my brethren. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, I want to read in verse number 1 through 4. Is everyone able to understand me? Yes, you understand my accent? In verse number 1 through 4, this message is on giving. And Paul says that now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders through the churches of Galatia, so you must do also, because we must give. On the first day of the week, a Sunday, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, as he's been prospered, been blessed by God. That there be no collections when I come, no pressure, no hard tactics, and no forgetfulness. And when I come, he says, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift. That's our title. Your gift to Jerusalem to help the poor saints there. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. So in this time that we have, my brothers, my sisters, I want to talk to you about giving. And here is the first thing that I want to say. It is not a tithe. It is giving. It's not Old Testament law. It's New Testament commandment. In the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 9, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 7, and I want you to understand this, that each and every time the Apostle Paul or Peter or anyone else in the New Testament talks about giving, he never talks about tithing. And we'll deal with that more in point number 3, but this is point 1. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about giving, and if you really want to know what it means, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is a good place to start and to settle. He says, let each one of us give. Give. Now, there are people who think that because we're not under the law of the tithe, that we don't have to give. There are people who think that because we are not under the Sabbath, but it is the Lord's day, that they don't have to even attend church. And there are many people who think that because of licentiousness, because people take advantage of grace in a loose way to live in sin, that we ought not to preach grace, and we need to keep the whip on people's back like Pharaoh and the children of Israel. Make them make bricks without straw. Make them give. Come down on them. Promise them curses and promise them blessings. But giving is still to be taught according unto this new covenant, New Testament commandment. Let each one of us give. It's not paying a tax. It's not paying a tithe. It's not paying a Levite. As he purposes in his heart. Did you see that? The Apostle Paul is not saying it is 10%. He's saying that you and I, we get to go unto God with the gift that he's given us, which is of the money that he's put into our pocket. And we are, at this present hour, I have 1,000 naira and a bank card. But me and you are to go unto Almighty God with everything that we have, on our knees in prayer, and ask the Almighty God who owns our life, who redeemed us from sin, who paid the debt at the cross, what does he want us to do with our money? But even before that, with our life. If you read earlier in chapter number 8 of 2 Corinthians, Paul said that they gave themselves unto God and then unto us by the will of God. And he is commanding that church at Macedonia that gave exceedingly, even above after what Paul said that they could give. Then the apostle tried to give them back that money. He's saying it's too much of an offering with this group of poor saints. But as to what he says is that they begged us to take it, because they were an example of giving in the New Testament. It's not a tithe. It says you purpose in your heart. And then he says this: not grudgingly, not angrily.
Here, God, I don't want to have a hospital bill. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to curse me. Here, God. Not because the pastor twists your arm back behind your back and tells you to give or else. That's not giving, that's extortion. You hear me?
Yes.
We're giving, we're Christian. We're saved by the grace of God. We love him.
That's the essence of how we give our life and our money. And our money is a small thing if he owns my life. Not grudgingly or of necessity or if I have to because I'm scared of somebody or something. That's not giving. You can give and I can give
and lose everything. Ain't that right? It's the man who most supported me when others turned their back. And for a whole year, he sent me $600 a month. And it was just about everything I had.
And then, in the coronavirus, he lost his business. And he can't send me anything else. And he wept, and I wept. Not that he couldn't give. I wept because he wanted to give, and he couldn't give. It wasn't money. I'll get a job if I have to. I'm God's ambassador. I'm relying on it. But our giving,
it's supposed to be cheerful. For God loves a cheerful giver. It's not by necessity. It's not by arm twisting. It's not because I'm scared of God. I'm scared of the pastor.
It's because he redeemed my blessed soul from an eternal damnation by taking my place upon the cross. And he stretched out and gave up his everlasting soul and life at Calvary. He gave us everything. The eternal God, sir. He wrote you in the book of life where you never hear a word I'm saying inside your heart. He redeemed you, sir. He saved you all by himself. And me and you, we didn't help him. My God, help us. The only reason you can hear me is God. When there's a person sitting next whose heart is cold as ice, it's not the preacher who saved you. It was God who picked you up. God opened your eyes for you. He made you understand. He made you love him. It's a gift of his grace. And that's what makes us what to give back. And as the text says, a cheerful gift. What the word actually means is hilarious. Like a ha 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 gift. Like, I can't wait to put this in the offering basket because I love you and I thank you. And you're going to use this money. Point number two, it's not a transaction with God as to where I give it. As to where I give 1,000 and then I give back 10,000. That's not giving, that's an investment. My giving is that this is for the good of God's elect. This is for the advancement of the gospel. This is for that pastor who spends his life in the Word of God. This is for my poor brothers and sisters. Could a pastor have a private jet, or should he actually feed his people? The pastor, when he built the university off of your money and then put the fee so high that you can't afford to send your children. Think. We are free men and women of the Son of God.
And when I give God,
I don't care if he puts me in the hospital. I don't care if I get cancer. I don't care if I die on this mission field. I'm not giving a dime to God to pay for something. The blood of Christ has already paid God for my everlasting salvation.
No transaction. No transaction with God. He can't be bought. The precious blood of Christ proves he can't be bought. If it took a few dollars
to enter us into heaven, would he send his son? No way.
That's high price. And so when you go back into our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let me read verse number 1 through 4 again and just make some comments. Now concerning the collection.
And so who's it for? What's your Bible say?
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1.
It's a collection is for who? Is it
for the saints. For the ministers, for the missionaries.
Oh, the saints. The saints. Is the money only supposed to be for me, like the evangelist, or the saints? aren't you a saint? If you, if you lose a job, if coronavirus comes and you have no money, let the pastor open up his pocket and put into the offering plate for you to get it back from us. Are you hearing me? Once that virus came, I had to give to the people that I wouldn't normally give to because they could not work.
Oh my God.
And so when I had enough, I had to pass on everything else. It's for poor saints. It's for widows, huh? If the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, yes, that if a widow is over age 60 and has been faithful, she's washed the feet of the saints, she's serving God, she's raised her children, no one been married unto one man, she's not an adulteress. If she doesn't have anybody to take care of her, the church is responsible, right?
Yes, sir.
That's Bible.
Yes, sir.
If God forbids her, if you die and you have a son, he's not going out on the street and beg. No, we are to take care of the orphans, of the saints. These are our children. That's what the offering basket is for. Yes, it's for missionaries. Yes, it's for pastors, right? I have to devote my whole being into this book, into the preaching of the gospel, and so I should live of the gospel I preach. Right? Well, that's the only one that is going to benefit off of the offering basket. In saints. The church of God. My brothers.
My sisters. And so as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must also do also. You must do it. On the first day of the week, each one of you lay something aside. Every one of us who knows God, who's been saved by grace, storing up as he may prosper. It's not a tithe. It's as you've been blessed. Some have more, and so we give more. Some have less, and so we give less. That there be no collections as to when I come. Paul wants no pressure. Paul does not want the missionaries are coming. Let's all scramble. Actually, Paul wants you to know ahead of time what's going on so you can plan and you can put aside a little bit each Sunday. Each Sunday. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift. Look what Paul says. Not unto myself, but to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they go with me. He's saying, I'm not even in charge of the money.
I've sent Titus, I've sent Timothy. And so it's on these faithful brethren in this offering, because in Jerusalem it was a famine. But Paul was not in Jerusalem. He labored, he said, with his own man. And he didn't only work for himself, he provided the grand apostle Paul. He worked a job, he made ticks, he picked up a hole and he dug into the ground to provide for himself and the needs of the people who traveled with him. Oh, how very different it is to give than what is so commonly practiced in my giving. I see an extortion scam. I see a racket. You hear me? If tithing was the key to wealth, if it really was, Africa would be the richest continent in the world. They don't tithe in the USA. Ain't nobody tithing in Sweden. to wealth in the New Testament. There is no key to wealth except hard work and God's good providence.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So here's my point three. We are not under law. You hear me? Now, this is a hard one to understand, even for some Christians.
The Old Testament law included tithing, but it also included everything else that was commanded by Moses. So I can't just take tithing out of the law and say, well, I'm going to keep that. I can't just take the Sabbath. Paul says in Colossians 2, let nobody judge you over a Sabbath day. Because our Jesus Christ took that law, its commandments, its enmity, its anger at me and you, and he nailed it unto his cross. And having died unto that which held us in bondage, me and you have been raised again to walk in newness of life and to serve God in the newness of the Spirit and not in the condemnation of the law and of our flesh. He sets us free. Let my people go that they may serve me. Because they can't serve God in bondage. That law has been taken away and you're under a new covenant of God's grace. But that gospel of grace,
you track it? You got it?
Yes, sir.
It teaches us what the law was always saying. What is the essence of the law of God?
It's in Romans chapter 13, verse number 8.
And the Lord Jesus also said it. As the Pharisees asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He told them. But the entire Old Testament law was saying that you shall love God with all your heart and you'll love your neighbor as yourself. And so Romans chapter 13, verse number 8 says, is you need to pay your taxes or you need to pay your bills unto owe no one anything except to love one another. That's the only thing that I should be owing you, is to love you. For he who loves another, look what it says,
has fulfilled the law. So everything that our brother Moses said from Exodus all the way through Malachi is fulfilled in this one word, love. And you and I, sir, can only love by the gospel. Because that law, you shall and you shall not, can't make me love you. It can only make me try to impress God and be self-righteous and proud of hoping. It's the only reason I help you is to exalt myself. That's a Pharisee, right? But the gospel of God's grace and the forgiveness of sin, oh, that poor woman in Luke 7 who was a sinner, she is forgiven of much, and that's why he's at the feet of Christ with expensive gold. All the money that she made prostituting herself is now poured out as a loving sacrifice on the Son of God. Love is what the law sees, and that comes through the gospel. If you want your husband to truly love you, through Christ. it ain't gonna work. So, I'm not under the law. But by the gospel, I obey what the law is always. I'm not a tiger. I'm a giver. And I don't want to practice. I want the life and to be laid down for the glory. And he's able to make all the grace of God. And so even though Paul and them would actually give their own life, he made them have enough grace to die for our Lord Jesus Christ. That was his thing. You get to die. But for me, in faithfulness, that's what I need. I need grace upon grace unto honor God. I don't need a new car. And if he decides in his goodness that I have more unto give, that's why he gave me and you more money.
It's for giving. You're giving. This is our life. Is to be happy, is to be thankful in the grace of God, is to be forgiven of all of your sins, is to be fully accepted through the shed blood of Christ, and then to live your life from top unto bottom for his glory alone, and it looks like love towards other people. And the giving is just one aspect of that love. I want the gospel preached. And I want to help somebody else in my church. And then when I hear about some needs of some other saints I know, I'm going to put a little in the offering basket just for them. You're giving. You're giving. Are you a giver? Is it from your heart that you love God? Even if he doesn't give you back a house and a car and a wife and a husband and kids, will you love him? Has he given you enough when Christ, he died in your place?
Books. We have an extra 3 copies of the Men and the Women. So, it's the men.
Okay. Just play the worship. Lift your hand and appreciate God.